KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, some drizzle or mist, and it's 32 degrees. We look for it to be cloudy here today with isolated light rain or drizzle on a high near 37. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Volunteers with the Red Cross have been busy in recent weeks helping dozens of families across the state knocked out of their homes due to fires. The agency relies heavily on donations to provide those families with temporary housing and money for clothes and food. Kara Kelly is a spokesperson for the Greater Iowa American Red Cross.
The reason the Red Cross is able to respond to disasters as frequently do, and mostly it's home fires, is because of donations from the American people. So in order to keep going, we'll still need to get donations to Red Cross Disaster Relief, and the best way to do so is to go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS.
Tis the season for year-end giving, and Kelly is hoping Iowans will consider a tax-deductible donation to the Red Cross.
Certainly, we are very busy around the holiday season and because of the winter months, so making sure that we have the resources in order to respond is incredibly important.
Red Cross volunteers from Iowa are also sent to help victims of disasters around the country and the world. In August, for example, Pat Birch of Norwalk, a retired nurse, traveled to Saipan in the aftermath of a typhoon. In September, four Red Cross volunteers from Iowa were in California to help those affected by a series of wildfires. And the State Health Department is reviewing information from the first year of a cooperative project with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that surveys new mothers in Iowa. The state coordinator of the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Survey, or PRAMS, Sarah Mock, says it shows some mixed results when it comes to breastfeeding.
Quite honestly, Iowa's doing well at our breastfeeding initiation. What we struggle with, and what I think most states struggle with, is that continuation of breastfeeding. We're at only about half of our babies are still being breastfed at 12 weeks.
She says the survey gives them some specific information on who is and who isn't breastfeeding.
Our young and our low-income moms are the least likely to continue breastfeeding, and so that's an area that our department is very specifically looking at, to how can we increase support postpartum for moms to continue breastfeeding.
Part of the issue is the 6 to 12 week mark is when many mothers go back to work.
How do we continue to support them in having access to a secure, clean space to pump or breastfeed? And what kinds of issues are they experiencing that cause them to stop breastfeeding?
Mog says there are other issues that impact whether or not mothers breastfeed their babies.
Some of those are just not knowing much about breastfeeding, since it's still something that I think is not extremely common in our culture to see.
Mog says they will continue working to educate mothers about the health benefits of breastfeeding for babies. Iowa State University Extension officials plan to host a series of meetings around the state in January for farmers trying to figure out how to deal with sliding commodity prices and rising production costs.
With margins being as low or negative as what they are, we're going to focus on that.
That's ISU Extension agronomist Joel DeYoung, who says the Crop Advantage meetings will offer advice on managing farm chemical applications.
What are the odds of applying fertilizer based on different soil test levels? It's a biological system, so we're all trying to figure the odds and the environment changes.
Farm income in 2015 is projected to fall to its lowest levels in 9 years, and the USDA predicts farm income will fall even lower in 2016. There is a $50 registration fee for farmers who want to attend the Crop Advantage meetings next month and get advice from ISU economists, agronomists, entomologists, and grain market analysts. ISU Extension will host 14 meetings around the state during January. Locally, meetings will be held January 19th in Atlantic and January 28th in Carroll. You can go to the same story on the news page at KJAN.com to find a link for more information, other meeting dates, and sites. Well, two former soldiers of the Iowa National Guard were presented with Army Commendation Medals for Valor in a ceremony this past Wednesday in Waterloo. Guard spokesman Colonel Greg Hapgood said Sergeant Justin Schmidt of Nashua and Specialist Brian Swedberg of Prairie City were part of Headquarters Company, 1st Battalion, 133rd Infantry, based in Waterloo.
Both of these young men were involved in situations in Afghanistan, firefights with enemy combatants. Both occasions, you're talking about, meeting forces that may have been somewhat larger than the particular team or squad that these individuals were on.
The two former soldiers were awarded the medals for actions they took in separate incidents in Afghanistan in 2011.
You're talking about significant personal risk and sacrifice involved in direct combat with the enemy.
Neither of the former soldiers were injured in the incidents. Hapgood noted the actions Smith and Schwetberg took helped to ensure that all of the soldiers in their guard unit made it home safe. Schmidt's military service ended in September of 2012. Schwetberg left the Iowa National Guard in April of 2013. Many Iowans will be learning more in the new year about the history of the Iowa State Patrol. A restored 1935 Ford Tudor van, or Tudor that is, was unveiled earlier this month. It'll be used to showcase the agency's 80 years of service. Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate says the vehicle was the first patrol car used by the 53 men who were hired as part of the Iowa Highway Patrol.
We decided not to restore it totally to mint condition because, you know, let's face it, these cars, they worked in their day. There's no central air, there's no heating system in those. The radios were only one-way radios, so the patrol officers could get a message, but they could not respond back and tell them if they were out there on the field. And if they came upon a car accident, they had to go to a near farmhouse and call it in on the telephone.
Former Iowa Secretary of State Ola Babcock Miller is credited with the formation of the Iowa Highway Patrol in 1935. Volunteers helped to rescue the 1935 Ford Tudor, which had been donated to the state, and spent several decades in the basement of the state historical building. Pate imagines a lot of Iowans will see the vehicle in parades and at car shows around the state.
They'll see it at the Iowa State Fair. They'll see it at the museum, any place we can find a place to exhibit it. I think the historical museum staff will be very creative and very energetic in finding places to showcase it because it's a great thing to show off.
In 1935, Iowa Highway Patrolmen were paid a salary of $100 a month, and they work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The agency's fleet at the time involved 37 cars and 12 motorcycles. The Iowa Department of Transportation pays hundreds of millions of dollars to the contractors working on the state's roads and bridges. DOT Director Paul Trombino says his agency is managing all the paperwork for the projects without the paper.
All of our contract documents are done electronically, including signatures with the industry.
Trombino calls the paperless project Doc Express.
It's really grown. We actually have a lot of states that are really looking to copy our process on this electronic document. And we're really sort of leading that edge from a national perspective.
The Iowa DOT has a five-year, $3.2 billion construction budget with designs for hundreds of projects. Contractors and subcontractors are logging onto the DOT's Doc Express website to submit all the information about the projects. Doc Express is configured for use on smartphones, tablets, or laptops, so the contractors can simply refer to the documents and make adjustments in the field. And a Waterloo church has surprised firefighters and police officers with holiday treats, including hundreds of homemade cookies. Members of Our Savior's Lutheran Church Youth and Evangelism Boards spent 3 days this past week baking 904 cookies, 820 pretzels, 166 miniature popcorn balls, and 20 pounds of fudge. The groups delivered the goodies Thursday to each Waterloo Fire Station and the police station. Church members also made gift stockings that were sent to soldiers with the Cedar Rapids-based Army Reserve units serving in Afghanistan and the veterans of the Iowa Veterans Home in Marshalltown. News was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.